is from the book Invisible Roots, How Healing Past Life Trauma Can Liberate Your Present, by Dr. Barbara Stone, read by the author. Chapter 1, Mary's Trip to School.
"Something is not right," Margaret asserted over the phone. Her voice was urgent as she continued, "All of a sudden, for the past 3 days, I have had no energy, can't think straight, have no appetite, can't sleep, feel totally exhausted, and my voice is hoarse. I'm supposed to start my new job teaching first grade in a couple of days. Can I come see you for a psychotherapy session?"
Margaret and I had worked together for several years on family issues, and these symptoms sounded nothing like the well-organized, highly intelligent school teacher I knew. I wondered what on earth could be going on and responded, "I'll get you into my schedule right away." One session of delving into the invisible roots of these symptoms surprised and amazed us both. The process stretched Margaret's belief system and led us outside the commonly accepted framework of reality. And our work also helped a little girl named Mary even more than it helped Margaret. Detecting Root Cause. Currently in her late 40s, Margaret had suffered from a long history of Crohn's disease. She had taken a leave of absence from teaching the previous year while attending to her mother's final year of life. After her mother's death, Margaret had gradually rebuilt her energy and was very happy to land this new teaching job. She feared her symptoms might be another episode of Crohn's disease. Margaret sensed that her energy field was not centered because she could not think straight. When we checked the perimeters of the energy field around her body with dowsing rods, we found that her energy field had shifted backward, a condition consistent with feeling exhausted. We began with a quick centering exercise. Then we set our intention to find and treat the root cause of Margaret's disturbances. To access the wisdom of her subconscious mind, we used a form of clinical kinesiology called muscle testing. The basic premise of muscle testing is simple. A muscle tests strong to a true statement and weaker to a false statement. Muscle testing indicated that the best place to start therapy for these strange symptoms was an intervention to increase her vitality via a modality called neuromodulation technique. We further muscle tested that a major source draining her vitality was an earthbound spirit. Naturally, Margaret wanted to know how an earthbound spirit worked and whether it was the same as a ghost or being possessed. Every time this issue comes up in therapy, I cringe inside as the thought flits through my head that my client might think that I have dissociated from reality. After all, I hold a doctorate in clinical psychology and am about to tell my client that to get better, we need to do therapy with a deceased person whose energy field is attached to hers. Even though I have done soul rescue many times with very good results, the scientist within me still holds the whole phenomenon of earthbound spirit attachment in the light of examination until I see positive results in my client's emotional life. Yet, to uphold my dedication to providing client-centered psychotherapy, I need to address the problem the way the client's subconscious mind tells me it is configured, laying aside judgment on whether the situation has objective truth. I explained to Margaret that some people die confused, afraid, or disoriented and do not know what has happened. Consciousness remains so the person can see and hear everything. Not realizing death has come, the spirit might not follow the light to reconnect with source energy. These spirits who are bound to the earth plane often wind up feeling very depressed and lonely since hardly anyone will talk to them. To add to their isolation, when they try to get someone's attention, the person just walks right through them. They cannot figure out what is wrong. Since the human body generates energy, and since the earthbound spirit no longer has its own power source, the attachment of the earthbound spirit to a living person will drain the life energy of the host. This situation is different from a possession in which a spirit takes control of the mind and body of someone else. An analogy is that an earthbound spirit is like a passenger on the back of someone's bicycle, increasing the load for the person pushing the pedals. In spirit possession, a discarnate being takes over the handlebars. I explained to Margaret that her sudden unusual disturbances might come from the feelings of an earthbound spirit who had attached to her energy field. Also, this situation is different from loved ones who die, go into the light, and then return in their new spiritual bodies to help people on earth. Since these heavenly spirits have reconnected with source energy, their presence is warm and comforting, like the presence of angels, beings of light who were never in human form. Soul detectives at work. To find out more about Margaret's earthbound spirit, we followed the soul detective protocol I developed, explained in detail in Section 3 of my book, which uses muscle testing rather than hypnosis to access the contents of the subconscious mind. First, we muscle tested the statement, "This spirit is male." The muscle went weak, indicating that statement was false. Next, we tested, "This spirit is female." This time, the muscle stayed strong, indicating the statement was true. Muscle testing further indicated that this spirit had been with Margaret for about 3 days. Margaret wanted to know if the spirit was her mother, an appropriate question since her mother had recently died. Muscle testing indicated this spirit was not her mother and instead was a 7-year-old child who had died from an illness. Our hearts melted for this poor little girl who wanted us to call her Mary. Margaret had picked up Mary's spirit at the new school 3 days earlier, which was exactly when all of her symptoms had started. I asked Margaret to tell Mary that we had some good news for her. She was going to get a brand new body. Margaret's heart opened up to this little girl, and she immediately made an intuitive connection with Mary. From here on, we no longer needed to use muscle testing to get information about Mary. Since Mary's energy field was attached to Margaret, their mental fields were like two computers that were networked. Margaret could open Mary's file and sense what was going on with her through mental telepathy. Margaret reported that Mary did not know she was dead and insisted she was still in her body. We asked if she remembered being sick, and Mary did not remember any illness. But she did know that she was with Margaret. Although Mary's responses did not match Margaret's muscle testing that Mary had died from an illness, we went ahead with our soul detective work. We next had Margaret look in the mirror to show Mary the body she was in. Margaret laughed and exclaimed Mary's thought, "The body I'm supposed to have is not this old lady's body." We explained to Mary that since she did not have a physical body to generate energy anymore, her attachment to Margaret was draining Margaret's life energy. Furthermore, she was missing out on getting her new spiritual body. Then Mary got scared as she realized she was dead and could no longer stay with the nice Lady Margaret. Since Mary felt frightened, we offered to help her feel better by tapping on a series of acupressure points to relieve fear, calling it a tapping game. Mary consented, so Margaret tapped the points on her body to show Mary where to tap and then visualized Mary tapping on herself. Even though Mary did not have a physical body, since she was attached to Margaret's energy field, she got the benefit of Margaret's tapping. A word on meridian tapping. Everyone knows that fear makes the stomach knot up. Tapping under the eye, which is the acupressure point at the top end of the stomach meridian, unlocks this fear by bringing the line of life energy to the stomach into balance. We first had Mary tap under her lip to release the shame that was blocking her healing. Then we tapped under the eyes, arms, and collarbone to clear the fear from her stomach, spleen, and kidney meridians. Mary felt calm after this tapping game. Now we were ready to help Mary find a guide to get back home to God. Since Mary did not know anyone deceased, we called an angel to help her get her new body. Mary wanted to know, "Where are my parents?" Where are my parents? Where did they go? Where are my parents? I miss them so. Mommy and Daddy, come hold me tight. I am scared and alone. Mommy and Daddy, I'm calling to you. Please pick up the phone. Where are my parents? Where did they go? Where are my parents? I miss them so. Where did they go? I miss them so. We explained that since Mary was not in her body anymore, her parents had buried her body, stopped talking to her, and thought she was dead. Mary insisted she wanted them to know they could still talk to her. We asked for the names of her parents, hoping to locate them and fulfill this request. Mary replied, "Mommy and Daddy." At 7, she did not remember their given names. After a moment of disappointment, we scrambled to figure out how we could grant Mary's wish, and an idea arose. Margaret and I prayed for Mary's guardian angel to talk with the guardian angels of her parents and to send them a dream with 3 messages. Mary was all right. She was going to heaven to get a new body, and they could talk with her anytime they wanted. After this prayer, Mary felt ready to go to heaven. To help with this important passage, we called an angel of protection, Archangel Michael, and also all of the guardian angels for Mary, Margaret, and me. When angelic presence is involved, the quality of light in the room changes, becoming both brighter and softer at the same time. Radiant joy was present in the room as we invited Mary to take the hand of an angel and go home to God. Tears welled up in our eyes at this numinous moment. As Margaret felt Mary's spirit detach from her and go upward, Margaret felt lighter and more energetic. I asked Margaret to check inside whether she needed to know anything else about the situation. Margaret saw an intuitive flash of Mary being hit by a vehicle on the way to school. Not realizing she was dead, Mary had just gone where she was supposed to go, to school. We muscle tested that this accident happened 10 years earlier. Since this cause of death differed from our muscle test that Mary died from an illness, we retested her cause of death. Again, the muscle held strong for dying from an illness, but it also held strong for dying from an accident. Puzzled by this contradiction, Margaret did some internal intuitive detective work to figure out how both of these statements could be true. Margaret then relayed her sense that nobody knew this child's vitality had been compromised by an underlying illness in her blood. The accident would not have killed a healthy child, but because of Mary's weakened condition, it was fatal. Though her parents must have deeply grieved her death, if they had not lost Mary from this accident, they would have had to watch her die a slow and painful death, perhaps from leukemia. Their suffering would have been increased. We wished we could have comforted the parents with this insight and hope they will find this book. Results. At the end of the session, we doused Margaret's energy field again and found it was totally centered and much larger than its original size. Although she still felt tired, she had been working with very difficult emotions, she no longer felt the exhaustion she had arrived with, nor any of the other presenting problems. Margaret realized that much of what she had been feeling would be the way a 7-year-old might feel in Mary's situation. The confusion could have come from head trauma in the accident. The poor appetite and insomnia could have been signs of depression from feeling abandoned by her parents, an emotional issue that resonated with Margaret, who had been adopted. After the session, Margaret's skin tone took on a rosy color, and she looked refreshed, vital, and joyful. Her heart was filled with peace, knowing that she had helped this child even more than she had helped herself. The next day, Margaret emailed, "I went to my classroom today with a friend to get things in order, and we accomplished a tremendous amount in an hour and a half. I did not get to rest, and I am still going at around 10:30 tonight. Thank you for all your work." Further questions. This whole process brings up some important questions. How many people remain earthbound when they die? Why don't they all go back home? Why did Mary attach to Margaret and not to someone else? Will Margaret pick up other spirits? Although some of these questions may always remain a mystery, the experiences that came through this pioneer work with my clients have led me to forge theories about what might be happening. Doing classical scientific research on these questions would be difficult, as most of the data would have to be gathered from the deceased, and the scientific model usually excludes the concept of life after death. Here are some theories that grew out of my review of the literature and my own phenomenological research. Sometimes a person is not able to let go of someone who dies, such as a parent, partner, or child, so the deceased person remains earthbound to try to comfort the one who is grieving. People who come to earth to be of service to others sometimes broadcast this intention on the spiritual level, and spirits who are in need take them up on their offer. Margaret is a very compassionate woman and loves children. Her heart goes out to these little ones who are suffering, and she wants to help them. But helpers will burn out if their own life force is drained by hitchhikers. The person who picks up a spirit attachment usually carries an emotional wound similar to that of the spirit. This wound in the host may be the portal through which the spirit enters. Margaret was adopted, and many children who are put up for adoption carry deep emotional wounds from not knowing why their birth parents gave them up. Likewise, Mary did not know why her parents had stopped talking to her, so she too carried feelings of parental abandonment. The web of life connects all beings in the universe, and each person's healing affects us all, making the healing process easier for everyone else with a similar problem. Mary's healing helped heal Margaret's heart. A person who dies may not realize what has happened. They cannot figure out why people stop talking to them and walk right through them. Psychiatrist George Ritchie's pioneering book, Return from Tomorrow, 1987, is a fascinating account of his death in an army hospital at age 20 and his return to life 9 minutes later. While dead, heart-rending loneliness set in as he realized other people could neither see nor hear him. His subsequent encounter with the Son of God and travel through other dimensions of time and space transformed his awareness. Raymond Moody heard Dr. Ritchie's remarkable story in 1965 when Moody was an undergraduate philosophy student. Coming from a well-respected physician, the account had credibility. Later, Dr. Moody began investigating near-death experiences. His book, Life After Life, first published in 1975, contains over 100 case studies of near-death experiences. The fact that this book has sold over 13 million copies indicates people's hunger to know what happens after we die. Invisible Roots continues in the next chapters with more examples of healing that came through releasing spirit attachments. Readers, please feel free to form your own theories of what might be going on in these true case histories.